We're in the book of 1 John, studying verse by verse through it, taking it slowly. I know it's a short book. I'm taking it slowly. A lot of people have complained, and as you'll see, a few of them aren't coming back because they're thinking that we're taking too long going through it. I'm doing it on purpose, just to see you squirm, just to make your life miserable. That's the only reason I exist. At least that's what people tell me. As long as I know I'm doing something. We read this the last time we got together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You, Christian, are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That would be the spirits, and the false prophets and the false teachers. You've overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I hope and I pray that you truly are born again. That every one of us is not really playing with this, but that we really have given our hearts and our lives, and that there is a change actually taking place, slow as we are, and that God's Word is becoming more important to us as the day goes by. And the kingdom of heaven is starting to look more and more like home than any place down here around here. I pray that for you, because this place is miserable. If you get caught up in the court system, You're just a wreck. You're miserable. You get caught up in that justice system, and you know there's no justice to it. And we're dealing with people almost every day now who say, I can't get out of the system. I'm stuck. I may lose my children. I may lose my this. I may lose. It's the courts, because they think they know better. They've given up God's word. They've thrown it away. And here we go. Hang on. Strap yourself in. Raise your hands if you want. And because here we go. You're going to see it get more and more like this, more and more dangerous, more and more vile and gross and violent and ugly. That's what's coming. And through all of this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is not my home. We are looking for a home just like Abraham. And he looked for a place that was a home that was made without hands. There is a place for us, and it is not on this planet. Don't get used to being here. Don't grab on too tightly, because when God takes us from it, it'll hurt our hands. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They don't know where you are, but look around at the world. The church has gone worldly. With all the self-help books, with all the self-help videos, with all the websites that you look at on the internet are unbelievable when they call themselves Christian websites, and the things that you're seeing and the arguing and the condemning. Churches are dying every day. Pastors are being driven out of the pulpit every day. Not sure that they're called anymore. Not sure what's going on around them. The Word of God is being lost. And still, God's Word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I would hang on to that if I were you. If I were me, I would hang on to that. You see, they are of the world, verse 5 says. And because of that, or therefore, when you see therefore, you look and see what it's there for. Because they are of the world, they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. They are of the world. Who are they? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome them, 1 John 4:4 says. Who are them? Who are they? The spirits, the false prophets, the false teachers. We today, I believe, have more false teaching and false prophets and prophecies than in all time of all history. Unbelievable, the things that we're hearing. Unbelievable. You can't even fathom that they would say it. And there they are saying it, and there people are listening to it. And you think, no, they must know that. They must know better than that. They must have at least read that in their Bibles. And they don't know. They don't know. We have begun on our website to do simple short videos I mean, they are short, answering basic questions. And I mean basic questions, because we receive these questions in emails almost on an everyday basis. Basic questions that Christians ought to know from around the world and around the country. They are asking questions like, do Christians have to tithe? Does the Bible teach reincarnation? And we're answering them on video. We thought that would be a little more interesting. Give them a laugh. They could look at me. Anything we could do to get God's word out, unbelievable, because they're not getting them at their churches. Now, when I say that kind of thing, you think, well, aren't we cool? No, you missed the point. No, well, it's nothing to do with us. It's just that somebody has to stick with the Bible. Some churches just have to do it. That's what we're going to do. So I think you're going to see that we won't grow to be the largest church in this area. We won't grow to be a nationwide ministry. We don't want to. Who needs it? Then the government would be talking to us. And who wants to talk to them? My calling is to teach and preach the gospel, not to be out there championing causes that all Christians think are big causes. I have been called to do a simple job, teach the Bible. And so people say, aren't you going to pick it? No, man, I don't have time. I guess if my nose went on strike, I would pick it. I had to say that, didn't I? I'm not saying Christians shouldn't. Whatever God leads you in your heart, you go for it. But don't try to drag me out there. I got something to do here. And it's keeping me plenty busy. Look. They are of the world. The false teachers, the false prophets, and those spirits that have gone out, the spirit of Antichrist, that is right now running the show, they are of the world. And because of that, or therefore, they speak of the world. Oh my goodness, have you read any Christian books lately, recently? Many of them are coming out and they speak exactly like the world. They are using the same techniques, the same illustrations. They are using all the same things to get you mentally prepared. And it's unbelievable what's going on. Well, but you see, they're of the world. And so because they are, they speak like the world. And since you speak like the world listens to you. And if there's one thing you and I seem to want, is the world to listen to us. Oh, are we somebody? And so the world listens to these people. Why? Because they are of the world, and because they're of the world, they speak of the world. You want a popular ministry? You've got to quit speaking the Bible, or you've got to couch it and kind of cover it and cover over some things, because you don't want to say homosexuality is a sin. If you say that, you can be taken to jail. Watch Canada. They're about ready to do that. All of America's eyes are on them. As soon as Canada goes, the wimps down here will follow, and then it will be illegal, and you guys will come and visit me. Because I've already done it, and it'll go out on the radio, because Kristen doesn't think of things like that. She just puts it out there, and here we go. And the people say, you said that? I go, yeah. Whoa, dude, I'm glad you're you and I'm not. And then I go to Chris and go, what did I say? Play it back for me. You see, they are of the world. Therefore, or because of that, they speak of the world and the world listens to them. Now notice the opposite. We are of God. When we read this, don't get in your mind that you and I are something so intellectual, so special, so above. No, we are sinners who got saved by grace. We didn't figure something out and get into the secret society, become illumined. No, we were given grace. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the Spirit of God worked in my life where I said, yeah, I would like to rest. And he said, you come to me. And I came to him and he opened his arms wide and he welcomed me into his family like a prodigal son, covered in mud, hanging out with the pigs, stinky, smelly, wasted life. Then the Father sees me coming and runs to meet me. So it's not like we're important. But it is like he's important. He died for us. We've come to Jesus Christ. Every one of us that has said yes, listen to this. We are of God. And he that knows God listens to us. Did you hear that? They are of the world. And because of that, they speak like the world, and the world listens to them. We, on the other hand, are of God, and he that knows God listens to us. He that is not of God doesn't listen to us. Hereby, or this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are of God. The one that truly knows God, the one that truly knows God, where you work, where you go to school, where you shop, and you begin to share things of the Lord, the one that truly knows God listens to what you have to say. Notice that? They say, man, I'm struggling with my attitude. And you say, man, I know how you feel. Let's pray because God's word says this. And you quote to them from the Psalms. And they say, oh, right, right on, let's pray. They listen because it's of God. It's not of the world. There's a difference. When it says they listen to what you've got to say, that means they pay close attention, or they listen to, or they take heed to what we say. They give an ear to what we've got to say. Less and less across our land, less ears than ever are listening to what we've got to say. There's an election coming up. And all kinds of people are jumping in, trying to run for whatever that office they think it is, the President of the United States. And they are calling each other more names than you've ever heard before. And they are literally cussing at one another. And they are spitting and scratching and biting. And they're all on the same team, trying to get into the position so that they can run up against the President Bush, who will, looks like, run also. And oh my goodness, the things they are saying about one another and to one another. And they're all doing it. Some of them say they're Christians. Yet there they are, speaking just like the world, talking with the same language and with the same attitudes and with the same mannerisms, no different than the world. But on the other hand, we are of God. He that knows God listens to us. He that is not of God does not listen. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Did you notice that? I'm telling you that this is a fact. According to God's word, there is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of error. It is important to me that you know that there's a difference. You need to, as far as I'm concerned, grow up. That's what you need to do. Before I die, I want to get through this whole Bible with whoever still sticks around. We're losing them faster than we can count. As Pastor Chuck say, Bob, keep going. You can preach it down to a manageable size. There are only two. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is no in between. Mark that in your Bible. There is no gray area. Either people are of the spirit of truth or they are of the spirit of error. There is no middle road. You aren't standing in the middle. You are of error if you are not of the spirit of truth. You are not standing in the middle. No one can. There is no middle. There is either the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. There are those. I think a false prophet can usually, pretty easily be discerned if you are willing to pay attention. If you are willing to get into God's Word and do your own reading and do your own work. Many people are being told today that you cannot understand God's Word. You need someone who's been through some sort of spiritual training, some sort of holy school. And so you've got to have 4 years here. Like 4 years here is going to make you holy and a scholar. And we're going to believe that and listen to you? Should be able to discern false prophets pretty easily if you're paying attention, if you are in God's Word every day. Now you know something. Much of what we are hearing or reading whether it's in books or in tapes or in CDs or DVDs or TV, video, internet. Most of what we are reading is worldly teaching with Christian words. It's completely worldly with Christian words attached to it. We call it Christianese. They speak the words that we need to hear. For instance, in the New Age movement talks about meditation. They learned that Christians were a little bit afraid of the word meditation because it conjures up some things that we feel are a little bit Far Eastern-y, and we sort of want to back off that. So they don't meditate anymore, they center. And so the children in our schools don't do meditation exercises, they do their centering exercises, where they center and count themselves down to an alpha state and see a rose by any other name. You just start putting words to it that make the Christians feel okay about it. It's not witchcraft, it's not New Age, it's psychology. And so it's okay, it's better. You take worldly teaching, put Christian language to it, and Christians buy it. They'll put millions of their dollars into it. Take something completely worldly and just explain it with a few words. Satan quotes scripture in the Bible. So just because you hear somebody talking about the Bible, that doesn't mean a thing. You understand? Have you caught on yet that doesn't mean a thing? You'd really better be paying attention and you'd really better know your Bible. You really need to know God's Word. You need to hide it in your heart. You need to memorize the Scriptures so that they're right there. You need to read it so much that it just comes back out of you and you go, whoa, I didn't even know that I knew that. And you'll be starting to quote scripture and people go, wow, you're such a woman of God. You're such a man of God. How did you memorize all that? And you'll tell them the truth. I don't know. It just sort of came out. I just been reading it and it came out. There it was. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus wept. See, it just comes out. Christian book. Designed to help you in your marriage. Takes the old story of a boat. Really, it's just a little boat. Just a little boat. Has 20 people in it. But here's the catch. It's only big enough for 19. You've heard that. Everybody took that in Psych 1 and 2 in college. They forced us to take it, to bend our heads. Remember those? There's only room for 19. So it's up to you, Bob, in front of the class, to determine which one of the 20 has to go. And, of course, on the boat are people like, here's a doctor who has just found the cure for AIDS. Here's a mommy who's got a baby. Oh, and there's one over here who's pregnant. And you got 19, 20 of these kinds, and you have to determine which one goes. Who is the least important? I mean, you can't get this AIDS dude because the truth is he's going to save millions alive. And you start going through it in your own secular heart, in your own secular way, and you determine who gets out of the boat. And what does God's Word say? All 20 of them are so precious to God that he sent his only begotten son. And you can't give that answer because the schools won't accept that. So you begin to think and to mold and to make everything, all right, we can only have 20 or 19. We got to get rid of one. Who is the least important? The pregnant one? The one with the baby already? The guy back there who can't find work? Who is it? In Jesus Christ. Everybody is just as important. By the way, when I had to do that in school, what a nightmare for the instructor. They broke us into groups. And so when she came over to our group, she said, what did your group decide? Well, Bob won't let the 20th one out. Bob says he'll get over and hang on to the side, and you guys keep an eye out for sharks. The teacher says, no, that's not fair. What fair? It's our boat. You're lucky you're not in our boat. We dump you out. Yeah, it's fair. That's what we're doing. Everybody's important. Nobody's dying. We're taking them all. No, you can't. Don't tell us we can't. It's our boat. You can see how the teacher would sort of get frustrated after a while. We're keeping everybody on the boat, even the jobless guy. Turn the radio on. And the preacher is yelling. She is yelling at the top of her lungs. Listen to the voice of the prophetess. She's quoting all kinds of scripture. It's not that she's not quoting scripture. You listen to this, you hear practically the entire Bible. She talks so fast and screams so loud, and the scripture is just rolling on through. And one thing you know, she's got some Bible going on here. She says this, your husband doesn't love you anymore? Send money to the prophetess, and he will love you again. You need a job? Send money to the prophetess. Every other word was a scripture, and then you, whatever you need, you send money to me. Right. Now, if you're paying close attention, you can see a false prophet or prophetess pretty easy without really having to put your brains in discern. Here's a weird woman getting rich off somebody who's crazy enough to think, if you send $100, your husband will love you. You know what he's going to say? Where'd that $100 go? He's going to be madder than when you thought he was 5 minutes ago. You're nuts. You're believing this woman? Have you ever read the Bible? Now, as you're listening to that preacher on the radio, you have got to make a decision, and it needs to be on the spot. Is this the spirit of error? Or is this the spirit of truth? Because we don't listen to the spirit of error. They speak of the world, therefore the world listens to them. We are of God, and those that truly belong to God listen to God's word and the things about God. You've got a decision to make on the spot. When you flip the TV on, when you turn the radio on, when you put that tape in or that CD, you've got a decision to make immediately, on the spot. It's not like you've got 6 weeks to pray about it and come to some amazing understanding. You need to know now whether to shut this off or not. You say, well, the church I go to, they teach the Bible sometimes. They read right from it. I say, so what? I think that there are many who teach about the Bible and will quote a few Bible verses, but they're not necessarily teaching the Bible. I've got some friends at home, dear friends, I love them. And I'm always on their backs to get out of the church they're in, because I know their pastor well. I don't say anything about him. I just say, get out of there and get somebody that's saved to teach you. I don't mention his name or anything. So I'm going to have to tell them, and they're friends of mine. If they're friends of mine, I should tell them. If they're friends of yours, why don't you tell them? What are you so afraid of? It might hurt somebody. Well, oh no. Oh, God forbid. Let's just let them go to hell. Let's just let them have a lousy life. Let's just let them suffer and be misused and abused. Let's not rock the boat. Why not? There's only one of us in the water anyway. Rock it. They made this statement to me, my friends. They said, you would have loved our Christmas service this year. I said, really? Why? Our pastor actually read right out of the Bible. Wouldn't that tell you that you want to get out of there? If you are proud that for the first time all year he read Scripture. I mean, come on, a little bit. When it's people you love. You turn on the television, and there they are. And you need to discern, don't you? You and I need to discern, because there is a spirit of truth, and there is a spirit of error. That's all there is. And you have a responsibility. No one's going to do it for you. It's your house. If you've got the TV on it, your house, you need to determine, is it the spirit of truth or the spirit of error? Robert Tilton. You remember that the church knew he was a louse and a weasel and a phony. But the church kept its mouth shut. You certainly don't want to offend anyone. Don't want to rock the boat. So the world had to do it. Do you recall that on 2020 years ago? Barbara Sawyer had to expose this fake preacher. Because the church wouldn't do anything about it, so the world stood up. Because the world hates the church anyway. So here's this poor man bringing in $90 million a year. $90 million a year. This was well over 10 years ago. He taught false doctrine. He gave false prophecies. He lied. He cheated. He stole. And he was bringing in $90 million a year. Where was that money coming from? Christians. Just like you and me. People that aren't really well-to-do. Just people like us. Maybe they sent 50, 100,000, 2,000. Maybe they just said, because, you know, he's praying for me. I got on his mailing list way before Diane Sawyer got him in trouble. I got on his mailing list to show my Bible college students what a false prophet was and how they worked. And he would send me things. I love the little packages of oil. Those were my favorite. He'd send me the oil, and he'd send me a little rag, and he'd send me a little thing with his hand on it, you know, the imprint of his hand on it. And he'd say, all right, now, the Lord is saying to, dear Robert, he calls me Robert, so he doesn't even know who I am. You know, it's like, dear occupant. You know, dear occupant, the Lord has laid you on my heart this morning. Right. We got a letter here one time, dear North Country Chapel, the Lord laid you on my heart this morning. They think they're writing to an individual. It's a form letter from a computer. We don't know that, do we? No. He's thinking about me. God laid me on his heart. Whoa. And he sent me this little package of oil. What do I do with it? You have to read the instructions. You read the instructions, and the instructions are on my program on whatever date. I'm going to be there praying. I'm going to put my hand on the screen. You've got to come to the screen and break the oil over your head and put your hand against mine on the screen. But it won't work unless you send a love gift. Yeah, I'm not sending him a penny. But somebody did, to the tune of $90 million. Did you hear that number? 90. Do you make that much? In a year? Hey, do you make that much in 10 years? Do you make that much in a lifetime? I do. Oh, wait, I carried a wrong one. Never mind, I don't. $90 million! Where did it come from? People just like us who are fools, who didn't listen, would not pay attention, and ignored God's word. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's a shame. When his ministry was exposed to be a lie, when they filmed that he threw the prayer request in the trash, took the checks to the bank and threw the prayer request away, never read them. Do you know that within a 1 to 2 month period, his money dropped all the way down to $50 million? My goodness, how could he survive? Almost half. I don't know how he did it. $50 million. Do you know he's still a multi-million dollar preacher? Still? And look at us. We're the ones keeping him alive. People just like us who should know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What a shame. He dropped all the way to $50 million. Do you know? I could point to you churches in this city of Post Falls that if they had $1 million, a little church down the road, if it had $1 million, it could be their budget for over 10 years. And they could take care of everything, buy property, even build a building, and still have a budget for over 10 years. With $1 million, do you understand how much $50 million is? Even though it is shrinking, I admit. Do you understand what's going on? The false spirits, the false teachers, the false prophets. It's a spirit of error. In southern Arizona, a man came from Indiana. His name wasn't Jones. came all the way down to where we were in the bottom of Arizona. Nobody comes down there. Must have been hiding from something, running from something. I think like a cop. This guy's got a cotton candy hairdo, white shoes, white belt. I'm thinking, oh, man, I have seen you on TV, dude. You know, football helmet hairdo. And he's one of those guys that, you know how they just bug you when they meet you? Good to see you. Nice. Hey, brother. Don't call me brother. Huh? Hey, it's nice to know you, man. Nice shoes. And you're thinking, something's up with this guy. I don't even like the way he shakes hands. You can tell. You can tell. And he came from Indiana with a banjo on his knee. I added that part. He didn't have a banjo. And man, he just loved everyone. Love you, bro. Love you, brother. Hey, I love you, brother. You know, when people have to tell you every few minutes, chances are good they don't mean it. If they could just show you every once in a while, you'd kind of be happy with that. But this guy, he wouldn't let up. And he would quote scripture. Oh, Lord, how they just rolled off his tongue. This guy was smooth. He had just, and he'd just quote, here's what God says and here's what God did. And why'd you come down here? You know, I'm a pastor down there. What are you doing? Why are you here? I mean, isn't there someplace else? Why from Indiana here? Well, brother, don't call me brother, man. Just tell me why you're here. Well, I just want to serve the Lord, and the Lord's brought me here. And you know, and you're thinking, oh, you know, you'd love to slap him, but you know that would be a sin. You know your heart's wrong, and you're thinking, there's something about this man. Lord, I don't like him, so work in my heart. Change my heart. Men and women were really impressed. He is really a man of God, and he is a prophet. And he tells people what's going to happen. He says to a girl, I was in his church. I went just to see. She was in the front row, a little teenage girl, not living a good life, I'm guessing. Because he looked at her and stopped his preaching. He's got his Bible up and he's preaching from the book of Revelation. He stops and he just turns to her and points and says, the Lord tells me if your lifestyle doesn't change, you will be dead in 2 weeks. And then he just went on preaching. I thought, I'll come back in 2 weeks. Her lifestyle didn't change. She was still alive and well after 2 weeks, not coming to his church. The Lord didn't tell him that at all. He just decided we learned later on that her parents talked to him and said, could you kind of put a little pressure on our daughter? So that's how he did it. Thus saith the Lord. Lord says you're going to die. Well, that works for a few minutes with teens. Didn't work. You know, he told them. He got a bunch of followers. You know he would. You knew it. I mean, I had been in there teaching the Bible slowly, verse by verse, and then along comes Beanhead from Indiana. And in 6 months, he's got a church of about 600 people. I've been there for years now, and we were thrilled if we could get 40 to come to listen to the Bible. People just weren't really that interested. You could say I was a lousy teacher, and we can always throw that in. But the truth is, whether I was lousy or not, people just didn't want to hear the Bible. But they wanted to hear what's going to happen. So his church grew quickly. And he told them on a specific Sunday, he said, the Lord has spoken to my heart. I was in prayer and fasting. The Lord has spoken to my heart. And he says, he told them the day Jesus would return. A real good dear friend of mine, doctor, been a doctor in town for ever since I had been around that town. He left his wife. He sold his practice. He took all the money, gave it to the preacher, moved out onto the church property because they already had themselves some property, and waited along with many, many other hundreds of them. And on that Saturday night, Jesus was to come at midnight. They wore white sheets and sat in the small trees. This doctor friend of mine was an intelligent man. He was not an idiot. He was not a loony. He listened to the spirit of error. And he sat in a tree at midnight waiting to be raptured. And guess what? The next morning, the congregation was already at church because they didn't get raptured. Most of them were there. The pastor was gone. He happened to skip out right before the rapture last, you know, at midnight there. He happened to skip out, take the money, some of the deeds that had been given to sign over to him, and he went to California. What do you think he was going to do there? Yeah, continue to get rich. Would anybody be dumb enough to listen to him in California? Are you kidding? If they did in Arizona, and they did in Indiana, and wherever else he's been, you know what's coming over there, and he knew it too, didn't he? Christians don't know. He quotes some scripture, just preach a little prophecy, impress you with his ability and his nice hairdo, and boom, there the people are. You know what happened to my doctor friend? Well, he had left his wife. He had lost everything he ever owned. He took the vow of a Nazarite. If you want to read through the books of the law, the first five, took the vow of a Nazarite, wouldn't touch his hair or his beard, wouldn't shave again, moved to Jerusalem, where he thought he was going to save many Jews. When he got there, he learned it's against the law to proselytize. So he just lives in Jerusalem, happily ever after, not allowed to share his faith. The spirit of error. I think we need to be able to tell the difference. How do we know? How do we know? We just read it in verse 6. We are of God. And he that knows God listens to us. Well, what do we have to say? God's word. The pure word of God. Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. That's what we talk about. We talk about Jesus being the way and the truth and the life. We talk about Jesus being the only way. And others tell us that's narrow-minded and I won't believe it. And we say it doesn't change a thing. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the only way to the Father. They say, well, you Christians say, no. We Christians don't say that. We Christians repeat it. Jesus himself said it, that he is the only way. You know where cults come from? You know how people are taken into cults? They don't know God's word, do they? They do not know. Some who sort of try to work with God's word, bring them into their homes and try to parry and thrust with them. And they're all prepared and we're going, oh, Pastor Bob, wait, what's that verse again? I got somebody coming over in 30 minutes. Oh, well, God bless you. They're coming in loaded for bear and you're going in there with the verse Jesus wept, all memorized, ready to give it to them. Higher criticism. It was higher criticism. And it came over to the United States. Let me see where I can. I want to get my dates right here. Well, I'm not going to give you dates. Late 1700s, early 1800s, that time frame. Now, early 19th century, we would say. Higher criticism came over from Germany. It wasn't Germany's fault. It just it was going all over Europe, higher criticism. And higher criticism basically says that you can't trust God's word. You cannot trust the word of God. Matthew didn't really write Matthew. The truth is Jesus didn't say many of the things that are recorded in Matthew. Luke didn't write Luke. Mark didn't write Mark. John didn't write John. Paul didn't write anything. Jesus didn't say half the things you think he said, and therefore this that you've got, called God's word, is unreliable. Higher criticism says you cannot trust it. Isn't that still being debated today? Still to this very day? Before that time there was no question? So because of the higher criticism, this is not God's word. Well, if it isn't God's word, then what are you going to do? What are you going to use as your foundation? What will you do yourself? They'll say, that's not the word of God. Well, then what do I rely on? What do I do? How can I trust? If Jesus didn't say all these things in red, what did he say? How do I find out? Nobody knows. So basically, God's word was destroyed, or just about destroyed, as higher criticism came to this continent. Because it doesn't really say what it says. You can't trust God's word, is what they taught. You don't know what to do. You're floundering. And a man comes by to see you. And he says, "Hey, you okay?" "Yeah, I am. I'm just reeling from this whole thing. I used to read my Bible. Now I can't trust it. I don't really know what to do." He says, "You know, I can help you." "You can, Joseph?" "Yeah, I can. You see, I have seen God." "Really?" "Yeah, he showed up in my room. And he told me that all religions, every one of them on the face of the earth, is an abomination. They make him sick. So he told me not to be part of any of them, to start my own."
"He did?"
"Yeah, start my own." "What are you going to do?" "Well, I got this little peak rock, and I can see things." "You, really?" "Yeah." "Is that scriptural?" "Oh, yeah, this is what God told me to do. He gave me these plates. They're golden. Can I see them?" "I can't dig them up for another 4 years." "Really?" "Well, yeah, I wouldn't lie about a thing like that. I mean, they're up there, and I'm going to dig them up and translate them. You know, they're written in a form of Egyptian." "Egyptian? Do you speak Egyptian?" "No, but this little rock here will help me see." "Well, God never appeared to me, gave me any gold plates, gave me a little rock, never gave me a rock that I could use as a peak stone and see the future. So, I guess I'll follow Joseph." "Huh. I mean, I can't trust the Bible. I might as well trust a guy who has seen God and talked with him and got some special gold plates. Wouldn't you?" "That's how you get a cult. That's just how you get one. You have no solid anchor. You have nothing to learn from or depend on. And so you're going to take whatever comes by." Mr. Russell comes along, says there is no hell. You say, "You know, I got to admit, I like that. I like that, there's no hell. I like it." Mr. Russell says, "Trust me, man, I've been studying, there is no hell. And Jesus is really Michael the Archangel. He's not the Son of God and all the stuff they're doing, he's Michael." "Really?" "Well, yeah, how do you know?" "It's just God told it to me, he just spoke it through me." "Really?" "You know, the Bible says you can't trust the Bible." So we've got the Jehovah's Witnesses, we've got Christian Science, we've got Unity, and the list could go on and on and on. That's how you get a Jim Jones. That's how you get a Sun Yung Moon. That's how you get a Bhagwan Rajneesh. God bless you. Christian television. Personally, when I watched it, which I avoid, because I start making fun. I come up with great jokes, and then, of course, it's... Turn the TV on. Watch the program. Here's a priest who tells me that Mary can forgive sins. Christian television, Mary can, and I go, "Cool, okay, I don't know any better. I mean, if I can't trust the Bible, fine. Mary, go for it, girl." You keep watching, that's a 30-minute program. Next program comes on, pastor gets up there, doesn't look as holy because this guy's got a suit, not, you know, cool collar. And this guy in the suit says, "Jesus Christ is the only way." All right, in 1 hour, I have been taught that Mary can do it. And then within that hour, I'm taught that only Jesus can do it. Who's right? There's a spirit of error and a spirit of truth. How do you know, how do you discern which one of those that's teaching and has the authority to teach and has the money to be on there, which one of those is right? They can't both be right. If Jesus is the only way, then there can't be this Mary deal. If Mary can do it, then there's Jesus only, doesn't work. Jesus isn't the only way if Mary's got the power. And if Jesus is the only way, Mary doesn't have the power. One of those guys has to be completely, absolutely, 100% wrong. Which one is it? How do you know? One teacher promises, if you'll send $10, God will give you $100. 10 times what you give, he will give it every single time. If you will give, he will give you 10 times every single time. 100 times, 100-fold he'll give. Did people really buy into a Christian Disneyland so many years ago? Did people really, I mean, do you believe for a moment people really bought into that Christian Disneyland on the east coast over there with Jim and Tammy Baker? They did, didn't they? To the tune of millions upon millions of dollars. Who were they? People just like us. a Christian Disneyland. Go through the Bible and try to find anything like that. Just give it a shot. In this world, you will have fun rides, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Man, oh man. We had a Bible study at home. I'll be done in a minute. We're not going to do any more verses. We've done two. That's plenty. Bible study group at home. Because I had met this man. He came to my church a couple of times. Didn't like verse by verse. Came up and talked with me. I listened to him a little bit. Talked to some people that had gone to his Bible study. So when I saw him again downtown, I said, I'd like to talk with you. I'd like to make sure that nobody in my church ever comes to your Bible study, ever. He felt like that was unloving and rude. I've grown up since then. You see, they weren't studying their Bible. They were sharing with one another. Words from the Lord. They would just receive. When they came in, the Bible study of about 20 or 30 of them, they would bring their Bibles. But they were instructed, you don't ever open this, just set it down at your feet, just set it down, and you will receive directly from God. Well, it took a while, it was kind of hard, but after a while, listen, every single person, without exception, everyone in that Bible study was receiving words. They were receiving words directly from God. Didn't need the Bible anymore. He had effectively shut their Bibles off from them. And they were receiving things from the Lord. One of the ladies, it was funny, I felt sorry for her because she came in tears to our church afterwards. But she received a word from the Lord. She was receiving now everywhere, not just at the Bible study, but in her car, at work, you know, she'd stop and she'd just receive. Well, on her way to a little Bible study we were doing, the Lord spoke, she received from the Lord that He's going to grow her new teeth. So the Lord instructed her to take her false teeth and to throw them out of the car into the desert. And she did. And I tried my best not to laugh. You know, you're trying not to laugh. And she comes in tears and I say, what's the matter? And she can't talk well because she has no teeth. I say, where are your teeth? What happened? She goes, I threw them out the window. What do you mean you threw them out the window? Well, the Lord spoke to me. I received it from the Lord. He told me to throw my teeth out and He would grow me new ones. I said, maybe I don't have faith, but maybe you could have just kept them until the new ones came in. I mean, that's probably a lack of faith on my part, but you know, and we laugh at this. These people were doing these kinds of things, receiving from the Lord. Leave their Bibles closed. Now, eventually, every one of them heard from the Lord. And I told them, I don't want my people around you, and I will tell them publicly in church not to go to your study. It was called Kingsway Study. And he said to me, he said, I feel sorry for you because you are not as spiritual as we are. We receive directly from the Lord. We are spirit-filled. You don't understand that. You're just not there yet. He says, you are not on the same plane as I am when it comes to spirituality. And my people know it. And I started to say something really nasty, but here's what came out. God is so good. I am certainly not on the same plane as you. That's as far as it went. What happened to the Bible study? You already know. The Lord led him. He received from the Lord that he should leave his wife and hook up with this girl that he was really kind of liking in the Bible study. She was a cutie. She was about 12 years younger than him, 13. She was a beauty, not real intelligent, and he hooked up with her. And his wife, that was okay with her. She was a little hurt, but really, she received from the Lord about the same week that she should take up with another girl in the Bible study. And they began to receive from the Lord, and almost every marriage in that study broke up and hooked up with other people. The leader of the Bible study left the new girl that he had after a while, and the Lord spoke to him and led him to another man, and they both lived together for a few years, and he died of AIDS. That was the man on that plane that you and I aren't on. Aren't you glad? The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's sad. Satan is in the business of destroying lives. Haven't you noticed it in your own? How he is trying to destroy you. He's trying to get your marriage, isn't he? Anything he can do, little things, big things, he doesn't care. Isn't he trying to destroy? He's trying to take your kids away from you, isn't he? Any little way he can, get them into this kind of music, get them into that kind of thing, get them into the court system, and the courts think you're weird because you're a Christian and take them. Any way he can, he is trying to upset and destroy and devour any that he can, especially to get the children. The Antichrist will come on this world scene, and he will be filled with the spirit of error, and the world will worship him. The world will go after him, believing he is God. You and I can't imagine it now, but that's Scripture. That's what the Bible says. The world will worship him. Read the book of Revelation chapter 13. They will go after him, believing he is God. The whole world will go after him. You say, couldn't be. It's coming. Because the Word of God is being lost, slowly being lost. You and I know and will recognize the Antichrist. Listen closely. You and I know and will recognize him. I don't think we'll see him. But if we're here and we do see him, we will recognize him. How? By what he looks like? No. By the things he says and the things he does. Because he is of the world and he will speak of the world and the world will listen. You, a Christian, would never be fooled. You would recognize the Antichrist right away. As a spirit of Antichrist, as one who is of the world. See, the danger, as we read it in verses 5 and 6, the danger is in following a man or a woman instead of Jesus Christ. Do you see it? Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and what? Follow me. Not some man, not the prophetess on the radio needing money. Not some guy on TV who will send you oil and you can pour it over your own head and put your hand against the glass. But Jesus. When you and I preach about Jesus, we step out of the way and lead people right into the arms of Jesus. That's who they need. That's who they should lean on, depend on. That's who they need to follow, isn't it? I'll read the verses again. They, verse 5, are of the world. Because of that, they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. We are of God. He that knows God listens to us. He that is not of God does not listen. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How? Spirit of truth, people will listen to the word of God. The spirit of error, they will not be interested, they will not listen. Pray about these things. It's not that much. You can go back and read it again before you go to bed. Both verses. Let's bow our heads.